Who would you say were the hardest opponents you played against? One most difficult to deal
with? Most difficult. Probably in those days, I would say, obviously, the most, the Bristols and the Baths. And
I mean, well, as well as teams, individuals.
Individuals? Mm. For me, I think we've obviously talked about Alan Walling.
Mm.
In my early days, when I started playing, the first time I think I played against Coventry, they also at that time had internationals galore. But the one winger was a guy called Rod Webb. I don't think he was an international. Not sure.
I remember the name.
You remember the name?
Yeah.
Well, he was quite a large guy. I remember sitting in the changing rooms and we were just talking prior to going out on the field about, you know, players to look out for and what to do. And they kept going on about, well, they wanted John Watkins, I think, to be extra vigilant and on the blind side, help me. And they really referred to Bob Clues, help me deal with this guy in defence. And of course, I was a little bit taken aback by this, thinking, well, I can look after him myself. But having then gone out and played against him, I understood why, you know, they sort of said, John, make sure you help out tackling this guy, because he was just incredibly powerful. Not particularly fast or anything like, but he was like one of those players that would run through, you know. And I played him a few times, and yeah, he was a tricky player. But all the rest of them, you know, I don't think anybody else stood out as a nemesis, if you like. They were all difficult. Mm. They all had their own skills and quirks, and some were quicker than others.
Yeah.
I remember playing. I think I was a quick winger, but not ultra quick. Not in the same style as say Charlie Sharples and Johnny May. I think they are blisteringly quick, and I didn't have that sort of speed up. But I could hold my own, but there were other players that we played that were much faster. And I remember Mosey had a player, played for England, called Fielding.
Keith Fielding, I couldn't remember
his name, and he was quick.
Mm.
And I can remember a game at Gloucester we were playing against Mosey, and I was covering across the field behind the fullback, and he got the ball and he was put away in space. And I thought, I'm going to have to get across and cover for him. So I took a position and ran for that position, thinking I was going to intercept him and tackle him into touch.
Mm.
But by the time I got there, he was over in the corner. He'd scored. I couldn't believe how quick and how he evaded me so easily, you know. And it was just pure speed.
Mm.
And I thought, Christ, he's got some speed.
Mm.
But you kept your pace, though, didn't you? Right through your career,
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, you were still quick.
Yeah, I think career. So. Yeah, we used to in training have little sprints and all the rest of it, and I used to hold my own until Richard Mogg came along, and Richard was just that little bit quicker as well.
He was
at the end of my season. I put it down to the fact that I was, you know, in terms of rugby playing age, I was getting on a bit, and but Richard was just that little bit quicker. Yeah, but no, I used to hold my own, but there were some very quick players.
Mm. What players really influenced you within the Gloucester team as a youngster?
As a youngster coming in.
Who held your hand, if you like, a little bit?
Yeah.
Perhaps at the very beginning.
I guess two players really. I suppose John Bayliss used to put me straight in terms of defence. I used to do my own thing in attack because that's who I was, you know. You took the game by the scruff of the neck and you played the situations as it were. But in defence, I was perhaps a little weak when I joined, and John Bayliss would always give me some guidance, move here, come in, do this, do that, let him go on the outside. And yeah, so John really helped me in those first couple of years. And Mike Nichols was a captain. You know, sometimes if you didn't quite have a great game, he'd always come and give you a tap on the shoulder and say, you know, don't worry about it, think of the next game and all the rest of it. So probably in the early days, Mike Nichols and John Bayliss. John Bayliss used to help out a great deal.
Mm.
put me right, I came as a raw youngster, you know, 18 years old, just wanted to get the ball and run and all the rest of it, but you had to do some tackling and defending, and yeah, I think perhaps when I started I was a little weak in that area, and he sort of guided me through the way of defence.
And he was formidable.
He was formidable.
Like a brick wall.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mention one or two of the players in the 500 club, and of course you're a member of that. Alan Brin, I know he was forward, so he didn't sing so much in those boats, but what sort of character was Alan?
Alan, he was a great character, a great influence on the team, because his play was always so strong, so steady. He never really gave a bad game, and he was an inspiration really, and he led from the front basically, Alan. The way he played, you know, I mean, he was always doing the hard stuff on the ground and leading the pack forward really, and he was a very nice guy. Would always come and speak to us younger players and all the rest of it. And I can remember him once. I had to go round to his house, and he was in the middle of a dinner party. And I can't remember why I went round, but I had to go round his house and speak to him. And he was in a dinner party, and he took the time to stay with me for a quarter of an hour at the expense of his guests and all the rest of it. He was that sort of person, but he led by example, really. And I think he probably should have played a few more times for England than he did.
Mm.
Yeah, great guy. One that you'd always want in your team.
Another player I liked back then, Gary White.
Gary White. Mm. Yeah, another unsung hero, really, isn't he?
Sorry?
An unsung hero, yes, of the team. He was always one of those not in the headlines and all the rest of it, but Gary White, Blindside. I can't remember how many seasons he played.
Awful lot.
Was it?
Yeah.
He and Dick Smith on the flanks.
Mm. And Captain Gosley, of course.
Before I joined.
And Captain Somerset, of course.
Did he actually play for Somerset? Right?
Yes, yeah. Captain Somerset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually led Somerset out at King's Home.
Did he? Okay.
Interesting experience for a Gloucester player.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, real longevity in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Kingston.
Peter, now, if you were to have asked me a question about if I was to pick a team, Peter Kingston, Mickey Booth, now that would be a conundrum really as to who I would pick, you know. Peter was hugely skillful player, and I've often thought that if I had to make a decision as to who was going to play in the dream team, I think I might have just shaded Peter Kingston as opposed to Mickey Booth.
Well, if you're a back, I think you would go for Peter Kingston.
I think
if you're a forward, you go for Mickey Booth.
Mickey was the general and dictated things, but Peter had an ability to do plays that perhaps I would say Mickey didn't. And I can remember a game when at King's Hall, can't remember who it was against, we had a scrum about 20 yards out from the try line, close to my side of the field, and I think I was out on my own on the right hand side. He took a ball and he ran flat across the field and encouraged me to come in on the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in ready to take a switch ball from him. I got clattered by the back row of the winger and ended up on my back, and I thought I had the ball, but I didn't. He'd done an absolute perfect dummy, arced his way round and scored in the corner before anybody else knew what was happening. They thought I had the ball, I thought I had the ball, and I didn't. And that was pretty typical of the things that Peter Kingston could do. Scrum half wise, doing the scrum half duties and all the rest of it, you know, comparable with Mickey. But I think Peter would have been my choice because he had that extra bit of flair, if you like, in loose play and broken play.
Mm.
Yeah, great player.
Yeah.
He had that awareness, didn't he?
He did. When to run, when to kick.
Exactly.
Where to go with the ball, did he take it blindside, did he open it up? open side, yeah. As Mickey did, but I think for me, Pete just had that bit of, around the loose play that would have shaded it for him.
And the second row combination of John Fiddler and Steve Boyle. Fearsome pair in the second row.
They were a fearsome pair, and they played in the 78 final, didn't they?
Yes.
Against Leicester.
Sure they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Slightly different players. Boyle wasn't quite as tall as John, but I think Steve got more honours than John Fiddler did. Different. I know that Steve was a little bit more good with the ball in his hands and all the rest of it. He scored a lot of tries and all the rest of it. And I think I can remember making a break in a game at Bristol and put Steve Boyle. I was going to get tackled, I passed it to Steve Boyle, and he had a long way to run, but he was very quick, and he made it from about halfway.
Yeah.
Scored
from
a try, so yeah, from halfway. Yeah, mm. He was quick,
yeah.
Very strong, and he got more on us than John did, I think. And but yeah, good pairing.
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, he had a Lions tour.
Lions tour, yeah. And when you think of, I think of that now, and you think of the difference between players of that age, you know, when they were amateurs, and you look at the players now, you take that position now of the physique of the players and their ability to play with the ball in loose play and all the rest of it, a world of difference, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolute world of difference. He wasn't a really tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's now, what, 6'8", some of them 6'10".
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a footballer as well as a second row.
And John Watkins.
John, yeah. Well, John was just John. He was everywhere. He was everywhere there was action.
Mm.
Absolutely great player. He was the sort of player that would come training, would play twice a week, and then he'd go out and train other days himself as well. Always remain fit and all the rest of it. But very skillful player. Again, not a big forward by modern day standards, but had a great awareness, a great footballing brain.
He should have got a lot more caps.
He should have done, absolutely. He should have done. And it was strange to understand why he didn't, really, but that was the way selection was in those days.
It was Tony Neary, wasn't it? He was always.
Yeah. I can remember, you know, sometimes if I was running down the wing and all the rest of it, looking for players inside, invariably John Watkins would be there or thereabouts, ready to take passes and stuff. He was a very, very fit guy.
Yeah, yeah.